Episode 86 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded June 16th, 2016. Gregory
J.
Amani
Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was, I don't know, 8 years ago when I first met Gregory J. Amani Smith.
We've known each other longer than that.
9 years ago, maybe? Around 2007, late 2007, or early 2008. We met at the Nomad Bar, Greg.
Yes, you gave me my favorite story of all time. You were drunk off your ass.
I was drunk, but that was usual for me.
Yeah, but you were complaining about a certain family member who was living in your house at the time.
I was bitching and complaining about
the whole time.
Personal problem.
And it was
a bit vocally, and yeah.
And I was like, you're funny, but man, this is a lot. This is kind of personal stuff here.
So we met through Buddy Martin.
Through Martin, yeah.
Because
I met Martin. I always messed this up. No, I met Martin. I met Martin through Belinda Acosta, who used
okay,
to.
Okay, yeah.
Who.
She's been on the show.
She has.
A long time ago.
No, yeah, because she's in. She's finishing up her PhD in Nebraska now.
Okay.
And I forgot how I met Belinda, but so
didn't you meet through a Statesman?
Yeah,
yeah. It's through the Statesman, but I don't remember exactly how I met her. But so she said you should meet my friend Martin. I'm like, okay. So we go and we hung out one night and had a good time. And Martin's like, oh, I do this podcast. And even before that, though, living in Austin when I first moved here, I had Time Warner, and that was
your first real friend.
My first
Time Warner.
But more importantly, I saw they had that show, The Real Deal, and I saw that in cable access. I was like, oh, you're that, you know, and then because he was working with, and he does Double Toasted with
Martin
Corey.
And Corey.
Martin yeah. Corey now, and Corey did that cartoon that was in the
Texan. The Daily Texan.
But they put it in the Chronicle, too. That's where I saw it.
Oh, okay.
And I loved that cartoon, too. I was like, oh, you know, so we started talking about, like, I seen him on talking about movies, and I saw Corey's cartoon. He goes, oh, you should do this podcast we do. You should come and sit in on it. So I'm like, okay. But
I don't think I was even on.
You weren't on it.
On the LEOG, which League of Extremely Ordinary Gentlemen on Spill.com was where we all met.
Right.
That's true.
And then, so I hung out a couple times for one of those things. And I think
you were actively solicited to be
The musical person.
Yeah.
On it.
So I played
bass behind it. It was very weird. But then we had a get together afterwards or something, and then that's where we went to Nomad. It might have been my first or second time to Nomad, actually.
Ah, okay.
And it was before you kind of lived in the area of Nomad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then so that's how we met.
Yeah.
And then Randy,
how did you and I meet? You didn't come up to the comic shop, right?
I did.
Were you there for that night?
Yeah.
When they did the big recording?
Well, the one with what's her face? Ruby Rosie?
Nope.
That was the other one. That was a tribe.
That was the one down south.
Oh.
It was him and Chris Nicholas.
As I recall,
no, I was there.
I don't think you were. Were you? Because I thought you couldn't make that one.
I thought I was there. I got a T-shirt from it. I remember. I think I still have the T-shirt.
Okay.
Right. It was a brown T-shirt.
You guys were giving away T-shirts.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We had some T-shirts. Yeah, with the logo and everything.
There wasn't enough.
Lynch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was up there.
I was up there for something. I don't remember.
So that's when I met you.
Yeah, but I thought we. Yeah, it was there.
Because that was the first time I met most. That's when I first met Grant.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we were up there. I don't remember what we were talking about.
It was probably TV, because I think that's the way we should say it.
Yes, it was TV.
It was destiny that become the TV dude.
It was 2009. We were talking about Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yeah.
It was all the rage back then.
We're talking about 24, and I was lamenting The Wire. No,
I'm pretty sure all I could talk about was Lost.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that was all it was. But then Grant kind of say, hey, let's do a TV podcast.
Well, as I recall,
wasn't it?
I started the website Lounge Geeks,
and you two
both said that you guys were thinking about doing a TV podcast. You guys told me.
Here's what I recall.
And I said, I interjected myself.
Right.
Here's what I recall. I recall saying to you, talking about the other podcast, I'm like, you know what? I never really, like Greg and I never really were never on mic together.
Right.
Like we never really got to talk about like TV and stuff on mic together.
Yeah.
And that's how this whole thing came about.
Right.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
So I thought you were like, we're going to do a TV podcast. And I was looks like there's room for one more.
I think that was you. I said, you know, Greg and I really never got to talk that much on mic together.
Right.
And we, you know, we've been fun to talk about TV. And you were like, well, would you want to do it? You were like the idea man.
Yeah.
You were like, let's do a podcast. And I think we were both like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Cause the thing is like in between the recordings for Spill, when we take breaks, that's when we would talk.
Yeah.
Because we didn't get a chance to be on the mic
Or we'd do what we called alt-leog, where we'd talk on the porch and some people would smoke and we'd all drink and talk about whatever shit we were talking about.
Exactly. And sometimes just because of just temperaments or whatever, we didn't get a chance to get on mic, on leog, or they would... The conversation would veer in all these weird directions that I'm like, okay, I have no
idea
what
it became Leog Unlimited and there was about 18 people all jockeying to be on mic.
And then so we talked about it and there was going to be a thing with Lounge Geeks with some members for Leog, but this is the way I remember it. Grant basically did all the work for it and then certain people were criticizing Grant about doing the work for it or something, and Grant
I don't think so.
No, you actually, as far as I know, you're the one who set all that stuff up because there was gonna be a movie or something, and we're gonna all that filming. Don't you remember the film? Like I got pictures of all the we're gonna film some crap.
I know all that.
Yeah,
but
but I thought that's where it kind of there was a fault line.
It was
between...
supposed to be a collaborative effort, the website, but then there was a falling out between some of the other people,
right?
Unrelated to me, so there's nothing being lobbed my way.
No,
but I just kind of got stuck with the site,
right?
Yeah.
And no one else collaborating with me anymore.
Right, yeah.
So I just started rolling out programs that other people kind of wanted to do.
And we started out, we were going to do this as a video show.
Yes. How many videos we had? We had like
three or four.
Three or four.
We did three or four where it was just like, I specifically remember us doing the Emmys.
Yes.
Where like we just walked up to the camera and started talking about the Emmys.
And we did a Rubicon one.
And we did a Rubicon.
I think was one of our first episodes.
It was an early show.
I think, because I was wearing a tie in one of them for so I was coming. I came from some function or something. It was really weird.
Just wear ties.
And then we transitioned because then we started doing those video intros.
Uh-huh.
Which are still.
Some people don't know about.
Oh, the
like people should go look on our YouTube channel and realize how cheesy they are, but they were fun
and they were just some of my favorite videos. They're just hilarious.
And then we ran out of time on that and then we just started doing longer and longer podcasts.
Yes.
I mean we've kind of worked and reworked and moved this all around. We've been doing this since 2010, so despite it saying that we're on episode 86,
we had a reboot.
You're getting 86 on episode 86.
I like that. 86 on episode. That's so apropos. I like that.
Yeah, but we rebooted to an episode 100 after we kind of decided we wanted to change formats again.
Right.
But yeah, we've been doing this a long time,
Greg. And then Johnny was aboard for about a year.
About a year.
Then he got busy with other projects he was doing, like finishing a book and stuff like that. And then we continued on and. Yeah, and I'm moving.
Now you're moving.
Yeah. And now the band's breaking up, Yoko.
The band's breaking up.
You're Yoko.
No, California's Yoko.
Well, how can I be?
All of California is Yoko.
You know, the Yoko would be free healthcare for LA Unified. That's Yoko. That's the Yoko.
There you go.
That's a very big deal. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, thinking back, like, you have always been very quick to have an opinion and be, and just like, you could pick up any topic and just kind of run with it.
Verbose,
for a long time. You're very verbose, and it's great because there'll be like certain times where I'm like, all right, I'm just going to pass the ball over to Greg while I set up the next thing.
Yeah.
And you'll just run with something.
Because I'm an old man, and I'm practicing for my son so he can walk out in the middle of one of my soliloquies about the way it used to be.
I'll tell you this. We're going to be in trouble with the TV trivia next year unless Greg comes back for it.
Shit, yes.
Greg was doing all the heavy lifting at the TV trivia.
No, yeah, or next year they're not going to have all those questions from the 70s and earlier.
I was very shocked that he did that. I don't even know why. It's like, I guess he wanted to make it hard, but I thought they'd get like individual, like more relevant TV shows, but like really specific instead of just asking old questions. It's like, man, why would you do that? Why are you killing people?
For anyone who did not listen to our ATX Television Festival coverage last week that we posted,
why not?
Yeah, why didn't you listen?
Yeah, first of all, yeah.
We did a trivia contest that had 51 teams, and we came in third place.
Yes.
Because Randy and Greg wrecked the shop on all the
questions.
Yeah,
we did. Yes. And by the way, we were 1 point out of first. We were a very narrow third place. Yes. We did good.
We tied
for second.
Yes.
We owned that place.
We did. Because we were tied for first after the first
round. We were tied for first at the first round, yeah.
Well, Greg, we got you a little something.
Okay.
And I'm going to give it to you on mic.
Sure.
Better that way.
Oh, so for all the people to be able to see it.
Yeah. It's a
fully loaded AR-15.
Oh.
Because it's here in Texas.
That's good.
So go ahead and describe what you see it there.
Sorry.
Wipe the blood off of it.
Okay. So I see it says to Greg from Randy Grant and Don Draper. And it's a bottle in pink, wrapped in pink tissue paper.
Yeah, don't read into that. That's just me being lazy dude rapping.
Right, that's okay. It's all right.
It's wrapped. I mean, I think you deserve credit.
Uh-oh. Oh, I love this. This is great. This is awesome. It is a bottle of Canadian Club.
I could have gotten the vintage label one.
No, that's okay.
But I didn't find it at the place.
And not only that, you don't want to... I know, that's a lot of money, man. But no, this is beautiful and awesome. I should take a picture of this. I'll take a picture. And I'll post it on my Instagram or whatever.
Canadian Club. The choice of Don Draper.
It is. The only thing would have been better if you got me a burner.
Oh. Canadian Club and a burner.
That would have been amazing.
And a burner.
Oh, that would have been great.
Just sitting right next to it, you know?
Missed opportunity.
No, that's okay. Listen, everybody knows my two favorite shows of all time are Mad Men and The Wire.
This is an episode dedicated to Greg. Actually, I don't even think we said this in our whole entire preamble here.
That's all right.
This is Greg's last episode.
Yes.
Yep.
Maybe it should have been obvious at this point. Like, why are we really talking about this Greg guy?
I feel like people may have put it together.
Yeah.
I'd hope so.
We've also been talking about it the past few weeks. So if anyone just kind of dropped in on this episode a little raw.
Surprise.
Yeah, surprise.
Yeah, this actually is our first episode back after ATX Fest. We may have gotten some new listeners. So,
yes.
Hi, welcome aboard. And it's going to be very different after that.
Yeah. Hi, bye. It is basically what.
So, but Greg,
yes,
I wanted, in addition to the drink,
yeah,
I wanted to offer you a gift, and the gift I want to offer you is, will you tell me that story about meeting Mrs. Coach
again?
we would love to hear.
I feel like you should tell us that story again.
For old times' sake.
There's a club here in Austin called the Continental. Above it is the Continental Gallery. Now, the Continental Gallery had music that was, it still has music that's kind of loosely, just like more improvising, more clubby, because it's really small and really intimate. So one night, our own, actually, you know who was there, was Amanda.
Oh,
Amanda
yeah.
came to visit Austin.
Right. She lives here now.
She came to visit Austin, and she's like, let's go out to see some music. So I'm like, okay, cool. Let's go to the Continental Gallery. So we go to the gallery, and playing there, and I'm going to get her name wrong. I need to look it up. But playing there was the woman who played a mom in Friday Night Lights.
Tyra Collette's mom.
Yes.
Yeah, what's her name?
Dana Wheeler-Nicholson.
Dana Wheeler-Nicholson. Well, I knew her from Fletch. She was the love interest in Fletch. And was funny and was really cool and everything. So, but she sings. She's actually a really good singer.
Mm-hmm.
So she had this jazz thing going on. So she's playing, and there's like nobody there, like me and Amanda, just kind of there, and a few other people.
Some Friday Night Lights people.
Right? Well, not right away. So
sorry,
then,
I didn't mean to step on your toes with your story here.
All these people start coming up, and I was like, oh yeah, wow, hey, what, hey, you know, like. As like I recognize the actors, I still haven't seen Friday Night Lights, so I don't know everybody. I knew Kyle Chandler,
mm-hmm.
and of course I knew Connie Britton because those are the two main. And I think Scott, what's his face, was there?
Scott Porter.
Scott Porter
in a wheelchair. He's a method actor.
I think Porter and I want to say Michael B. Anthony was there too. I think maybe not. It was another black guy.
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan, yeah. Michael B.
No, it wasn't. It was Gaius Charles who played Smash, I bet.
Okay, all right. So
Michael B. Jordan was later.
Right, okay. So one of them came. So there's all the actors are there. And there was this couch. And we were sitting on this couch. Like Amanda was sitting in one end. I'm sitting in the middle. And then Connie Britton sits next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, and then first of all, Kyle Chandler has got to be like the coolest guy on the planet because he was going around for tip jars. He went down and got money for the tips, which by the way, thinking about this, like, wait, she's a famous actress. Why are we tipping her money? She's got more money than I do. But anyway, but in the moment, the fact that Kyle was doing it and buying everybody drinks, he was just a really nice guy, said hello, just sweet dude.
I don't know. That doesn't sound so cool. He's a panhandler.
Yeah. Well, panhandling or not, he was really cool. And then so Connie Britton sat next to me, and I talked to her, and she's a very nice, beautiful woman. And she took her shoes off and put them on the put her feet on the table next to me. And I was trying.
You went, get your fucking feet out of
my face. No, I was like, I'm not sure if I was single at the time.
Doesn't matter. Let's just say you were.
I would say I might have been single or about to be getting divorced from my ex-wife. But yeah, she put her feet up there, and she is a very good-looking woman. And I feel like throwing like some. I felt like I said this in my head. I'm thinking I should be like Samuel L. Jackson and be the foot fucking master and just kind of massage her feet or just make a comment about her feet. Like, you should let me massage them or something and see what would have happened. But I didn't. I just kept talking to her.
Can I tell you what I think would have happened?
Yeah.
You would have been thrown out of that club.
I don't. You know what would have happened? I don't think I'd be here today.
She would have been her sugar mama.
But she was. You never know, man.
You'd be on the set of Nashville right now.
Yeah. You know what? God damn it. I could have been a gay country guy on a.
Should have made the move on those feet. You should have Quentined her.
I should have Quentin Tarantino. Oh, by the way, that's a reference from Pulp Fiction. If nobody knew.
And
that.
All of his movies. He's a chick foot fetish.
Her means to film her feet for a long, long, long time.
Right, right.
Inordinate amount.
Right. But yeah, too much, so really. that was my little brush with stardom in Austin. A little bit of it anyway. I mean, it's funny because I think the one of the things about Los Angeles and before when I lived in New York City, it's amazing when you live, or even in Austin, when you live in places and you're either filming or you have professional creative people, whether it's musicians, actors, artists, whatever, most of the time, they're very nice people. And they will talk to you, and they're regular people, and you can build like I actually kind of became friends with Dana Wheeler because I went to see her again, and she recognized it because I had my hat on, so I saw it in Whole Foods. We had sat and talked for a while, and it was just cool because she saw me play. I don't know if it was a gallery, it was someplace she saw me play, so she knew I was a musician too. And then you build this thing that I'm like, you know, if I really pressed it, you know, maybe I could end up playing with her or something. I think I gave her a card in case she needed another bass player for something, but I like those are the things I love about one of the things I think
I almost got him to say it.
One of the things I think I will love a little bit more about Los Angeles, because every time I've been there, I've had little brushes with, like, you know, celebrities like that. But
it's gonna be a lot of those.
Oh yeah, and it's really weird and interesting because just, you know, people are people, and I guess it doesn't really matter as long as you're nice. You know, as long as you're not like an asshole and just like, oh, I love you, or just say something really obscene to them.
Yeah.
But the other thing is too is like with the business out there, that is actually more interesting to me than just. I mean, you see stars, it's cool, but like. Somebody who's like, I want to meet like somebody who's like Ari Gold or an agent, and see how they actually maneuver, you know, like a real one, or like, you know, even business managers or production people. Like, I always think every time I look at movies or television, like, I think it's one of the cool things about ATX Fest is that you talk to some of the, they really go into the minutia of putting these shows together, and it's how many people, whenever somebody's throwing out the writer's room, that's like, what, like 10 people? And then their assistant, like, because even the guy we met, Ali, was like, he went from being a, but like, he didn't.
He was a writer's PA, and then he went to being an FX PA, a VFX PA,
right.
On Westworld.
But he was a PA, but he wasn't an assistant. It's like this weird hierarchy.
There's hierarchy. Yeah, he was a production assistant, and then there's assistant,
right.
And then there's like writer's assistant, and then it goes from there. Yeah.
Right. So there's all these people that are involved in making all these shows. I mean, it's funny because, you know, we'll sit and. There's some shows that we hate and some shows that look terrible, but you know, there's part of me that really enjoys thinking, you know, this is employing people. You know, these are like this show, like say that Sony show, what is it? That terrible
Powers,
which I thought this show's terrible, but still probably employing like hundreds of people.
Yeah.
So I think it's cool. So it's going to be interesting running out there and trying to be like, you know, just kind of holding my tongue so I don't insult anybody. Like, if I run into Lena Dunham out there, I'll be nice to her. I might just say, oh, how many black people do you know today?
And she'll be like, you're Greg.
I've heard about you.
You know what?
You said so many things about me.
That would be so funny.
You won't run into her. She's in New York.
She's in L.A. too.
Oh. Okay.
She goes to both places because she's bicoastal.
She's bicoastal.
She's not biracial, but she's bicoastal.
We know.
And you know what? It's kind of funny because then you become like Donald Trump. It's like, okay, I hated you, but now I like you because maybe I can get something out of you.
That's perfect.
I mean, that's just, you know, that's life. So,
well, let's get into the show, folks.
Yes.
20 minutes later.
See?
I know other people that do these kind of podcasts, but they wait until like 30 minutes in to get their intro in.
Yeah.
That's us now. That's right. Us today.
Just right. Today.
Hey,
special night.
We're the TV dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
And I'm Greg.
And we're going to kick things off by saying we got an iTunes shout out.
Hey!
It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
But we got one. And this is from Tom Feister. He says, 5 stars, worth your time.
Whoa.
And it's short but sweet. He says, great show, guys.
Tom Feister's a friend of mine.
Oh.
He's a comic book creator.
Well, very cool.
He picked us up off of our Terriers podcast, I guess.
Oh.
I guess he liked it.
That's cool.
Just put this in.
That's awesome. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. And it looks like we got a couple others, but these people didn't write reviews. So once again, I'd like to say, hey, if you write a review, we'll read it here on the show and thank you guys personally. But yep. Otherwise, we can't tell who wrote these, gave us these reviews.
Right. But we appreciate the 5 stars.
Yes,
we do appreciate them either way. And Patreon.com.
What?
Patreon.com/TV Dudes is where you guys can actually financially support the show. And we have so many people that are doing this.
We
now.
Really appreciate
it. It's awesome. It's humbling. And we got 3 more this week.
That's amazing. Maybe it's because I'm leaving. the black guy's leaving. Okay, let's give some money. I'm kidding, folks. Totally kidding.
This is so awkward.
You know, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like that old Saturday Night Live Eddie Murphy skit.
Yeah.
You know, when white people around, they just give each other money. They give each other things for free all the time. You saw that skit.
Yeah, I know.
You saw
one.
It, haven't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
It's a classic.
I love that.
So anyway, the patron donors that are giving money because Greg's leaving are Grant Davis and Randy Lander.
Oh, wow, that's weird. It's weird that you guys have our names. That's so odd.
Oh, shit.
That's strange.
Oh.
We've been busted, Randy. Okay, they are actually Criminal Core 28. I didn't get the real name there, but thank you so much. Joshua Williams, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Ross Brown. You guys are amazing, and we really appreciate it.
Thanks much, guys.
Thank you very, very, very
much. And I hope you enjoy the Patreon-exclusive content.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. And then we have a bunch of questions.
I saw some.
Yeah. So we got some questions that are actually geared toward Greg leaving.
What?
Let's go ahead and kick these off if you guys like us on Facebook and Twitter.
Before we get to questions,
back to
Patreon for a second. Mm-hmm. Because I made an announcement on the TV TV festival, but I want to make the official announcement.
Yes.
That's right.
There is a spinoff podcast of the TV Dudes coming later this summer. It is going to be called Two Beach Detectives, a Terriers podcast.
It's going to be called
Beach Cop Detectives.
Beach Cop Detectives, a Terriers podcast.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be me and a guest host, 13 episodes, one for each episode of Terriers. It is going to be done with the participation of Terrier's co-creator, Ted Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping to talk to a bunch of people from the show. It's going to be something special, guys. So I'm working on it. My rewatch, I'm making my notes. We're gonna put together a tight little production for you guys. Everybody will get to listen. But if you're a Patreon subscriber, you will get to listen to the episodes early.
That's awesome. Pretty awesome. So you guys can be the first to race to the presses after you listen to it.
And be ready. Sucks.
I know what happened in this episode of the recap.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
I want a review show for our show, our review podcast.
You mean I should podcast about our podcast every week?
That ideally.
Okay, yeah.
The TV dudes.
How about if I do it? I'll just do it from LA.
I love this idea. That would be amazing.
Every week Greg reviews our show.
Every week, yeah. Greg does the TV
God
dude
damn
dudes.
It. They talked about this shit again. He talked about Lost again.
They're talking about Bernie Sanders. He doesn't stand a chance.
He's over.
The TV dudes dude. That's what you should call your podcast, Greg.
TV's dude.
Well, let's move on to these questions. And
sorry.
The first one, Greg, comes to us from Jimmy Lee, who says, and you actually already answered this as well on Twitter, but
that's okay.
He says, Greg, you going to Skype in from time to time?
I'd like to. I mean, there's technical issues, kind of, that we got to work out, and there's also a 2-hour time difference, which shouldn't be an issue, I don't think, because it's actually a little bit better because my day job, I'm a teacher, and sometimes we record these very, 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 very late for me. So if it's like 9:30 here Central time than 7:30, which is actually a little easier for me.
You're also a new dad.
Yeah,
I have
am
to
a
get
new
my
dad.
Kid to bed before I can get over.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, well, I actually am entering that phase now. So I was a little late because I had to get my kid to bed. But we'll see. I mean, I'd like to. And also what I'm thinking about is, like, I really want to be able to get some kind of angle from Los Angeles to add into it. To add into, like, hey, or, you know, listen, say, okay, you guys talked about this. You know what? By the way, I met this guy, or I met this woman who does this, or...
She had wonderful feet.
Yeah, she had wonderful feet.
She didn't like your latest episode of TV Dudes, which you can hear on my TV Dudes Dude podcast.
Yeah, she didn't like that. I'm reviewing. Maybe I'll get Chelsea Handler or something to review you guys. Or I'll go get other. I should get like Alan Sepinwall.
You got a whole bunch of people to people help just you review. Just an individual review. Episode each time. Yeah. They're like, I don't have any context for what you guys are saying.
I don't know what are you talking about, but it's these guys are interesting. But
the show's garbage.
But yeah, the thing is like I'd like to try to. I don't know, because I don't know what is what's available yet. And the other one thing is, like, I got a new computer, so there's like technical things, but I'm guessing maybe it'd be nice maybe for the fall.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, because after we get settled in, new shows coming up, returning shows, then it'll be like a big push. So.
And when they do the Wire revival movie that I'm sure they're going
to
do.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm going to try to get cast in it if I can.
Our next one comes from Jedi Cypher, who asks, with Greg moving to California and leaving the TV Dudes after this week, what are your favorite TV character send-offs? Thanks, Greg, and long live the original TV Dudes.
I like that. That's a playoff of our Leog sign-off. Let's see.
So I was thinking about this, and... Mm-hmm. You know, it's The Office. It's got to be Michael Scott. His send-off with them, with all their candles.
That send-off was great. That was really
I mean,
good.
You have to distinguish between someone being a send-off where they and when someone dies on an episode.
Yeah.
Because it's far too often like, oh, that was a great send-off. No, that person died.
No, they were murdered. They were murdered or disappeared or whatever. Yeah.
I was trying to think if Cheers had any characters that got sort of sent off, but I think most of them didn't.
What about Shelley Long?
She just got replaced, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. Remember. She left.
She left.
Shelley Long's send-off was actually a pretty good send-off.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Remember she and Sam were about to get married.
Right.
And she gets a call from a publisher, and she's got a gig out in L.A.
That's right. She
moves out to L.A.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
And they never see her again.
Right. And that kind of happened to Shelley Long.
What about Michael J. Fox in Spin City?
I don't remember that one.
What about when Charlie Sheen took him over his place? And then what about Charlie Sheen in Two and a Half Guys when Ashton Kutcher took over his place?
You're not helping us.
And when he came back?
did he come back finally?
I thought he came back, didn't he? I don't know. I haven't watched that show. Nah. Let me think about this, because I don't remember. Like, I remember when Lenny Briscoe left. I can't remember the actor's name, but I remember when he left. But it was also because he went to go to trial by jury or whatever, and then he ended up dying.
Yeah.
But he left, and it was okay. It was more like, oh, Lenny's leaving, but I didn't know he was sick. Like in real life. I'm trying to think.
You know what was a good? I just have one off tip of my tongue. And I've lost. Oh, JD on Scrubs.
When they
did sort of the send off, I mean, they technically that was the end of the show, because then the next one was like Scrubs Med, alternately called Scrubs Zombie Season. But I actually like Scrubs Med, so it seemed like a decent enough send off. So.
So we actually got the same exact question from Jonathan Happ to Michael, but he also wanted to note that Californians do not call the state Cali, which was how I asked the question. Everyone,
I didn't say Cali.
So my mistake, Jonathan. I meant to say Fornia.
Well, the only person who can call it Cali is LL Cool J, because he was going back to Cali.
Oh, okay, that's true.
Man. Grant and LL Cool J are really similar.
I thought you were going to say I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah. See, come on, I threw it up there. He's going back to Cali.
I don't know the song that well.
Man.
Going.
Back, no. Back. Well, that's another good one. That's Biggie Smalls.
Yeah.
With that was cool. And then California Love, which is Dre and Tupac.
I think it's just called Cali Love.
I don't know. I can't think of any other ones. I mean, maybe Jack, you know what? Maybe Jack Bauer. Because it was like...
You've been on a 24 streak, dude. You just need to go watch that show.
That's like my third favorite show of all time. But because they... Remember, Randy, you liked it, too. They're like, he was up there. It was like the drone was looking at him.
I've never seen it.
I have not
seen the final season. It's a couple seasons of 24.
I'm talking about the... Oh, no, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, it was the last. It was season. It was the
Howard
last season
Gordon
before,
was talking about it at ATX Fest, but I've not seen it.
Yeah, it was like this drone shot of Jack, and it was like really wistful, and he disappears in it, and it was like Chloe was kind of crying. It was actually really touching. I was like, oh, but I like that one because every other show for me, they all get killed for the most part.
Yeah.
Well, wait, Marlowe. When Marlowe, he's in. You know, Marlowe's made it. You know, he He doesn't go to jail. He basically gets off, but he's got to get out of the game. And then Levy's got him in that ring with all the people that's going to spend his money. And Marlowe's like, I got to use the bathroom. And then Marlowe just leaves the party. He goes back to the corner in his suit. He knocks some kid in the face. The kid stabs him, but he's standing on the corner by himself in his suit. Because Marlowe just, that's all he wanted. That was kind of cool.
But he dies.
Marlowe didn't die. Marlowe's
presumably that was a fatal stab wound, right?
No, it wasn't. It hit him and it nicked his arm.
Okay.
So that was a cool one.
It was a deadly arm cut, yeah. Though, I think.
Not too deadly because he's in Bosch as a cop now.
Dennis McElwain says, goodbye, Greg. Your weekly presence will be missed.
Thank you, Dennis.
Javier Mancia says, how do you do, TV dudes? First of all, thank you for all your contributions, Greg. I know this won't be the last time we hear from you, but it is the last regularly scheduled listen from you.
Yes.
Although I never really agreed with your views
on
spoilers.
That's okay.
You are still a fantastic element to this fantastic show.
That's actually a really good compliment. Now, you listen because you hated me.
Now, Greg, this isn't exactly a TV question, but after listening to your music, Mini, it reminded me that you're a huge Radiohead fan.
Yes, I am.
I am a diehard fan myself. Still remember you playing a lot of Airbag and No Surprises on the bass for good old Leog.
Yeah. Wow.
Question is, have you heard the new record? If so, what do you think? Best of luck to you and keep on keeping on, TV dudes.
I have heard the new record, which I'm zoning on the title of it. Okay, Radiohead to me is like The Wire or like any show that takes time to build and you kind of, because the record is a little slow. Mm-hmm. It is. It's not like, I can see the cover of it. It's not like the record previous to that they dropped that had a little bit more activity on it, a little more. No, wait. No, that was the one before that. I gotta look up a list, but anyway. But it's kind of slow building. It's nothing like really like punches you in the face as far as like with a lot of guitar on it. It's a lot of keyboards, a lot of rhythmic stuff. I enjoy it because. To me, Radiohead's like I said, like a good TV show or a good bottle of scotch. You just kind of work your way through it, and it's not for everybody. But, you know, I'm in a tank for them, so even if it's not any good, I like it. So, I mean, that's just, I mean, I can say something, you know, this isn't good, but I'm in a tank for it, so I'm going to support it. It's like some Paul McCartney songs.
They're going to be at ACL Fest here in Austin this year.
Yeah.
I have tickets. Mm. I'm thinking I'm going to go instead of sell them.
You should go. I've seen them.
See Radiohead.
I saw them in, I want to say 2003 when they played in Houston. It was one of the best shows I ever went to. I mean, it was, and this was like right after, it's not after, the album with, it was the album with the national anthem on it. Anyway, but.
I don't know. I don't know him that well.
No, nope. I did.
My favorite song is I Did It All for the Nookie, though. I love that.
I love that song from Radiohead.
That's not quite who Radiohead is.
Those guys were great. You know, they also did some music for Mission Impossible, too. I think that's really cool.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what? Yeah. Oh,
keep rolling.
Actually, I saw them after Amnesiac. The record, the new record is A Moon-Shaped Pool, and I was thinking about. In Rainbows, that had a lot of really good guitar stuff on it. But actually, what was really great is, which I think everybody lost their mind to, was their theme to, they released this theme to, what was the last James Bond movie?
Oh, it wasn't Skyfall.
Spectre,
yeah.
They did this killer theme to Spectre that was so much better than Sam Smith's version of it. And that everybody's like, and then Sam Smith wins like the Grammy for it. Or no, he might win an Oscar for it. Yeah, he
fucking
won an Oscar.
Sam Smith.
And
yeah.
It was okay, but the Spectre song was just, I mean, otherworldly. Because Tom York has got like just one of those voices that just... Okay, you cannot like it, but he's gets to get one of those voices, one of those falsettos that just carries. So anyway.
You cannot like it, but you're wrong. All right, next question comes from Ross Brown, who says, hello, Lords of TV. Is there another genre of television you'd like to see an Angie Tribeca-style parody? Sad to see Greg go. Good luck to him and his future pursuits.
I got Game of Thrones, man. Do me a fantasy show, but like Game of Thrones, like complex and full of, you know, sex and violence, but Angie Tribeca style, which for those who don't know is basically like Naked Gun style.
Yeah,
like that I would love to see.
I'd like to see something like Girls or Friends like that, where they make obvious, like, yeah, how come we're in New York City? There's no black people. I don't understand. Like, or like the one black friend is, or the Latino friend, or the gay friend, or something like that. That'd be funny.
Speaking of which, at ATX Fest, I watched the pilot for this new show called Search Party, which has Aaliyah Shawkat from Arrested Development.
Yeah,
in it.
Yeah,
and it's these rich white privileged sheltered New Yorkers, but in a way it seemed a little bit like Girls,
right?
Except that there seems to be, at least on the show level, a little bit of self-awareness of the fact that they're like this, right. And it's making fun of just how like terrible they are.
Oh, that's cool.
And then there are other characters in there that aren't white, so at least it does have that diversity. What? But it seems like the lead four are all white,
this show that kind of does that actually is Broad City a little bit.
Yeah,
like they'll have a little bit taste of like how ridiculous your life is, especially when the one who does the hip hop stuff all the time. Like there was this one. Oh, it was God, what are the two lead actors?
Alana and Abby.
Okay. Abby was saying something like, was trying to use this kind of hip hop term about the club.
Yeah.
And Lana was like, no, don't, you can't say that. You just can't say that. She goes, wait, but you can. She goes, yeah, I can, but you can't do it. And it was like this weird kind of like, I don't understand where you're coming from. But they kind of do those things, those little tropes where they're like, there'll be like some kind of romantic, because they talk like that way, and then it goes terribly wrong. Or actually, Kirby Enthusiasm does that, which is hint, a little nugget coming up later.
Uh-huh. But you know, actually, one of the things that works about Angie Tribeca is that it's playing off of tropes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it almost has to be a genre that's like, I would say like a hospital show, but that's kind of what Children's Scrubs. Hospital does.
And Scrubs is kind of like
and
that.
Scrubs was pretty
Children's
straightforward.
Children's
Hospital
definitely does it.
Children's Hospital is definitely that for Angie. If you like Angie Tribeca, Children's Hospital is a darker, twisted, more version of that.
Yeah. Well, has there been a law version of it?
See, that's another one. A good lawyer show.
A lawyer show that way?
Mm.
Actually, the closest one to it really was the one that just got canceled. And it was the clips, the Rob Lowe show.
Oh, yeah, the Grindr.
The Grindr. Yeah. Basically, the clips before they actually started the show. But those clips were hilarious.
Yeah, they were. So, next question is from Alejandro Rey Zapata, who says, since Greg is leaving, what are some of the best going away gifts any of you have ever received? And I think it's pretty obvious. It's a bottle of Canadian Club.
Canadian Club.
How do you top that?
In what context?
I guess just any going away gift. And he says, and Greg, your special edition of Real Rob is coming in the mail for you, old friend.
That's right. We're going to send Real Rob off with you. No more Real Rob jokes. They're going away with Greg.
Yep.
I have to meet Rob Snyder. I have to meet him. I'm going to meet him, and he'll probably be like the nicest guy, and he'll probably sit at a bar and say, you know, I hate my fucking life. I got to do that stuff. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'll say, Rob, this is the real Rob. Let me film you, and I'll make you into a... You know, I'll give you some sympathy. I know two guys in Austin who really... They think
the world of you, Rob.
They think the world of you. They want the real you, not that show you just did. Anyway, but...
Going
away gifts.
Herpes.
That's not a gift?
That's a lot
and
of...
And it doesn't go away?
And that's one of those things I did not...
You're welcome, Randy.
Oh, God, that's
you
nasty.
You said you appreciate
Actually... Not, I would say, in that vein, but I didn't take a disease or anything. But when I moved from Illinois to New Jersey.
You got going away sex?
No, I didn't. I wanted to, but I was 16, so I had no game. I had no swag. But there's this girl who I was waiting at, like, my parents, we had gotten movers and stuff, and I was kind of hanging out with my friends, and she said she was going to come by the house as we were leaving, packing up.
Oh,
so, of course, the one time I go out, she comes by. But my mother, to this day, and this is like 30 years ago, say, that girl wore this red dress, and all the movers are looking at it. I'm like, why are you looking for my knuckleheaded son? And she's like, that girl had to be trouble. But the interesting thing was, like, she was moving, too, and we didn't leave that house, but we were leaving the next day. So we stayed in this hotel, and they were in the hotel next to us. So I went over to her place. Nothing really happened. I mean, kissed a little bit, but I thought I was, I tried, but that was the best. That was so. That was the best so far. So,
I, you know, I'm trying to think of the last time I went away. I'm always here. I don't leave. Nobody will give me going away presents.
I have a good one for you. If you just leave,
no,
get the fuck
I've
out.
Heard what yours is, and I don't want it.
Come on.
Well, what about like if
it's
you leave?
Gift that keeps giving.
But what about if you when you guys left college or something? When you guys graduated.
I can't remember because like when I left college,
that's pretty rad.
That's a pretty damn good going
yeah.
away gift.
When I went for when I went to college, my parents did give me their old the old car.
That's
I
cool.
The old car. Mm-hmm. I wrecked it inside of a year.
Nice.
Yeah. Good call. Never got that.
Kyle Bolte says, "Hey TV dudes, first let me say thank you, Greg, for your time as a TV dude regular. It's been a blast, and I'm grateful to have gotten to know you in some small way through the show. Now to my question.
Wait. Okay." Is it? It was Kyle that sent me those CDs.
It was
right?
Kyle.
I still have those things. I just packed them away.
Right. I was thinking, when are you going to review that show?
I, you know, I was kind of like, yeah, it was terrible because I was like, I literally because like there's someone I just I
he
like,
sent
I
get you rid a of box
him.
Set.
You know what? That was the best giving him a present you got, and haven't even watched it.
But guess I know, but I'm going
to
watch it.
One more time.
I'm going to review it.
Actually. That was the best going away present Dennis McElwain ever got us, which is giving us something to give Greg shit about.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I packed them away. At least I didn't get rid of the DVDs. I actually was going to send them back, but I want to watch them.
The question we got is mainly for Randy and I.
Right.
What moment would you say was Greg's most defining TV dude moment?
Oh, wow. It's gotta be the Connie Britton story. I must have heard that thing like 10 times.
Yeah. What about the Life and Times of Tim story?
Oh, the Life and Times of Tim story. Man, oh, we should have gotten that one in.
Telling us the exact same like episode.
I love that show.
Scene over and over again.
That's another show that is underrated. How great that show was. No, I'm not.
Probably the first time we got into a spoiler discussion.
Oh my god!
We like realized that Greg was so for it, and we just kept arguing forever. It just the argument never ended.
Oh, that is definitely defining. Yeah, the every software rear its head spoiler discussion where I was like, I was in it, and it was like Vietnam, man. I was never getting out, and nobody was gonna win.
It was a stalemate. It was a stalemate. I was like Nixon, and I was napalming everything all the time.
So let's start with a big story. Curb Your Enthusiasm's coming back. I believe Larry David's exact quote was, "All right, fuck it, I'll do it."
Well, you know,
I mean, that wasn't his quote, but it might as well have been.
It was funny.
That would seem very appropriate.
He said, in the immortal words of Julius Caesar, "I left, I did nothing, I returned."
But you know who actually spoiled it was J.B. Smoove.
Of course.
Which is what he should, you know, living up to living up to his character, he should have like outed Larry with and pulled him back. I thought it was great. And I don't know, that show, I'm trying to think what the weakest season of that show was, maybe the third season, but he just reinvented it all the time. Like, one of my favorite seasons of television still is the Seinfeld season. That was just genius.
Yeah.
And even the one where he went to New York was great, too. I mean, it's just that, and he does it just
enough. It gets
enough.
Better each year. It seems like he has a much better vision of a season arc and an end destination for each season. Like, the first couple seasons, it was just kind of, it was a little project, it seemed like.
Right.
But then it seemed, I think the fourth season or the third, mm-hmm. when it ends with the restaurant.
Yes. Oh, they all,
that's
fuck,
like,
all.
Yeah. That was when it's like all of a sudden, okay, you arced this, you knew where you wanted a culmination point.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited for a ninth season.
Remember when he had the chef that they thought he was a survivor because he had numbers on his arm? Yeah. And he's like, oh no, this is just like my telephone number. And he rubs it off. And then, oh God, that was hilarious with the Tourette's. And then they had Ted Danson and that. And that's when they would bring in the celebrities that either are playing themselves or they'd play like a variation of themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just there's a, if there, I think the only other show that coming back that would make me happier would be Louis coming back. But
Speaking of Louis, Louis did the Horace and Pete, which was the show that he sold in Demon Village episode. The only way to get it is to buy direct from him.
Right.
At what, $2 an episode?
Yeah.
I think it went up to three.
It was like five, three, two. It just depended, yeah.
So I have not watched all this. Did you watch all of it, Greg?
I haven't watched all of it yet.
I watched the first episode and I was like, this is kind of a bummer. I hear it got great, mm-hmm. and eventually I'll get back to it. But Louis is talking about potentially doing a season two, or sort of potentially. Mm-hmm. He did an interview with Deadline, and he said, I have ideas and I continue the series. The test is always, does it right? I did this myself without a network because I didn't want to be committed to do it again. I only want to do it if it's really compelling. So he's going to sit down, hammer everything out this summer, and if it doesn't work out, he won't do it. But if it does, he'll do it.
I feel like this is something that's super important to him. Like, this was his own project. He got to kind of steer the entire thing. He didn't have to answer to anyone for anything because he self-financed everything.
Yeah.
And I feel like he felt a big degree of liberation.
Yeah.
Even with how open it is for him to do Louis and he's like unconstrained, I still think that he doesn't like to have to in any way have it under someone else's banner, his work. He now realizes he can do this all on his own.
So he does note that the show is becoming profitable.
Yeah.
Because he initially claimed to put in millions of dollars in debt. Says he's declined offers to show it elsewhere. He says making money, a couple of offers to put on other platforms. He says, I'm just waiting. Every day I make money on the show. If I take one of the offers, I'll make a profit right away. But the mandate was never to make money. When you own your own projects and sell them over and over again, which means it's probably not coming to Netflix anytime soon.
The thing is like he really went into detail about this on NPR and on Bill Simmons' show, like about the details.
And WTF.
Yeah, yeah. And he actually, like, people saying that he was, like, bankrupt was, like, totally wrong. He says it costs a lot of money, but it's not like, you know, he spent all of his money doing it. I mean, he's a wealthy guy. I mean, he's not, like, he may not be Tom Cruise wealthy, but he's got more money than us.
Mm.
And the way he talked about all the angles of the business, and I think, you know, I'm like, I'm actually kind of shocked that he's thinking about it now. I'm like, he's in the middle of this tour that he's really excited about. Like, being on his email list is awesome because he's like the best person to give his own news, actually.
Yeah.
And so he talked about how excited he is about the comedy tour he's taking and how he works on that material. So I guess he must really think that material is going well to be thinking about Horace and Pete again. But whatever, man. Whatever he does, I think he's, you know, I'm a fan. I'm in a tank for him.
Yeah. Okay, this next one, the headline reads a little weird to me. It says, angels are real and dreams do come true.
What?
I'm sorry, I misread. It says Terriers producers want a Terriers movie.
Wait, did you break this? Was this said someplace?
No, I did not break this. Although I did in the interview that I did, which you can listen to here on the site.
Right,
which I'm very proud of.
Yes.
I did talk to them about, you know, them bringing back Terriers. And at the panel they had at ATX Fest, Ted Griffin said that they investigated Terriers revival, says they're looking at making they'd like to make a movie, mm-hmm. have an idea sort of what we want to do. We just need to clear it with Fox. Fox has the rights. But if Donald and Mikey were up to it and Ted had the story he wanted to tell, the story would revisit. So sounds like they're all interested.
And as far as Donald Logan, Michael Raymond James, mm-hmm. I was at that panel.
Yeah.
I saw when they made this little announcement. And, you know, you could read into it that way. You could also be a little bit more like, they're saying it because they have a bunch of fans there mm-hmm. who want to hear that.
Yeah.
But it might not actually carry through. But everyone there, it did seem genuinely that they really love and miss this show. We went to some panels where people, like, you know, they kind of say that, but they don't want to go back.
Yeah, they're not going to do it again.
This was a show that was cut short, and they really, like, this was passion project for Ted Griffin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm excited that he's going to be on your podcast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it'll be fun.
Because I think he really loves this show. And
Almost as much as I do.
Yeah, almost.
Well, That is funny.
No, the other thing that I think, and I had to duck out of this panel, heartbreaker.
Right. Yeah.
Because I had to go to preacher interviews. You see how I suffer for you, the fans?
Yes.
But when I saw the article, I'd already talked to them, I sort of got the sense of, this is not an announcement in any way. This is them saying, people ask them the question.
Wishful thinking.
Yeah. Right. But I thought it was interesting when I talked to them that he talked about, I said, would you continue it? And he said, it's kind of too late to go back to it. Like, time has moved on. The actor's gotten older. Right. Like, he doesn't want to pick up where they left off.
Right.
They would want to do kind of what Veronica Mars do and do a movie and sort of see where those characters are. And that's, honestly, that was a little disappointing to me because I want to know exactly what happens in between.
Right.
But that's what novels and comic books are for. And you better believe I'm going to be asking Ted Griffin about that.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
All right. Next up, we've got Mallrats 2 coming to TV.
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
it was a movie, right?
Yeah.
They were considering making Mallrats 2, making a second movie.
Yep.
But it looks like the adaptation they want to instead make it as a TV show.
Oh, so they didn't, right? Whoops. They didn't make it as a...
No, they did not make a movie. So basically it sounds like Kevin Smith is possibly talking about it and doing it on TV.
I do think it'd be interesting for Kevin Smith to be a showrunner on a TV series.
I think so too. I don't think Mallrats is the show I would do.
Mallrats is, first of all, it's just odd because I mean all these malls are closing. So unless you did something like based on like those characters losing their jobs or something like that, and then who are you going to get to do this? I mean, I guess
Mallrats is as relevant as Tower Records.
Yeah,
anymore.
Exactly.
I can make a second one of
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird one. But yeah, the thing that's interesting about that is I would love to see Kevin Smith show run a show.
Yeah.
Especially one that's sort of in the Kevin Smithiverse of, convenience stores and Jersey and on
the
all
Kevin
that kind of
Smithiverse?
Stuff. It's a thing. It's all shared. The View Askew Universe is actually what it's called.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last story. Supergirl has casted Superman.
Mm.
And they have cast, it's on the CW, so you're going to be surprised, they cast a 29-year-old to play Superman.
Oh.
Of course.
So, Superman has been Superman since he was age 19 in the CW. He's 29, which means in the CW years that he's basically super old.
Right.
Yeah.
And the person they've cast is Teen Wolf star Tyler Hoechlin? Something like that.
Hoechlin.
He also is in the movie Everybody Wants Some that Richard Linklater did.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, so...
It's not Tom Welling.
Andrew Kreisberg, the producer, says that Greg Berlanti and I have wanted to work with him for ages, so this worked out perfectly because he is Superman. We are so thrilled and humbled to add an amazing actor to the legacy of this iconic character. He does look the part. I've not seen a single minute of Teen Wolf, but he's got the right look.
And he has the right acting pedigree if he's from Teen Wolf.
That's
you're
cold,
mean.
Grant.
Accurate.
I'm honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Missed talking about the Americans last week when we had our finale just barely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But we're going to talk about it right now.
Yes, we are. So spoilers for season 4 of the American. We're going to talk about the whole season.
Yes.
And Greg, why don't you kick us off? What'd you think about this season?
It's
better than last season?
It's the best show on TV. It's one of the
Qualify that.
It's what? Okay.
That's not HBO. It's not Game of Thrones.
It's the best show that's not Game of Thrones.
And Better Call Saul.
Yeah, for
that's
me,
not
I,
on air right now.
No, but see, for me, I'd still like the Americans a little bit more.
You would put this over Better Call Saul.
What about Nick? The Nick?
Well, the Nick, we're not sure if it's coming back.
Ah, okay.
But I would say the Americans because it hits all the marks for me personally, just because it hits a part of my childhood that I remember very vividly.
Yeah.
It's done really well. The acting is great. I think Kerry Russell, at least nominate her for a fucking Emmy. I mean,
yeah, right.
She is like, what she's got to do in this show, and also the fact that she's like emotionally fucked up, but she's also probably the scariest character on TV right now. You can never. She is so prone to violence, and in violence in a way that's like, just like, you know, like rip your arm off and shove it up your own ass.
Is
type
she?
Stuff.
Yes. I mean, I saw her violent twice.
Well, it's not. I don't know if it's so much prone to violence as it is. She will go when she needs to go. And put her she can turn her emotions off when she needs to.
Yeah.
Well, she's a zealot, but I thought it was very interesting in this season.
Well, yeah.
They are exploring the fact that she's suddenly starting to draw a line and she doesn't want to. She can't turn her emotions off.
But she still does.
But it was very important. Mm-hmm. They ended, I think it was episode 8 or 9. Right. I don't remember which one it was. Mm-hmm. But when her relationship with her Asian friend, she goes and asks her handler, what's the actor's name?
Longoria.
Frank Langella.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, she asks him, can we do anything else so that she doesn't have to go through that, so she can maintain that contact and that friendship?
Yeah.
Because she actually has a friend. And what you end up realizing is she's kind of never had a friend.
Yeah.
I love later, like in the season, you find that Paige ends up like kind of piecing that together. Like, who was there for you guys when you had me, your first kid? And it was like
nobody.
No one, because your parents have never had friends because they're isolated as spies.
Well, I mean,
it was just kind of beautiful that she's starting to break. She asked for deferment there.
Well, the whole arc, I mean, the only other person she really cared about was Gregory. And we saw that, what's his face, that Philip basically just was still mad about that. You know?
Yeah.
And because for whatever reason, that was the one person that spoke to her. Maybe because he was just as much of a zealot as she was at the time.
Yeah.
You know? But it's not just the physical violence. It's like the emotional, because she shuts herself down. Like when she was, you know, talking to Paige, like she'll talk to Paige and Philip in ways like, listen, motherfucker, you're doing this. And, and they're like, yeah, okay, we will. Because she scares them.
Yeah.
And the only one she hasn't scared yet really is their son. And that's only because
he doesn't know.
He doesn't know anything. Not yet. I think that'll be next year.
You know what, a spinoff? I would like to see a spinoff.
Okay, what's the spinoff?
I think Henry from the Americans goes and gets breakfast every day with the son from Breaking Bad, Walt Jr. Walt Jr. and Henry, they go get breakfast.
Flynn.
They get together and they talk. And this has got to be pre-final season Flynn. And they just go and they get breakfast and talk about how great their lives are and how chill their dads are and everything's so normal in their lives.
Right. Yeah.
And then the final season of that show takes place during the final season of The Americans and the final season of Breaking Bad.
Right.
And we just watch them go through post-traumatic stress.
Exactly.
So I thought with this season, all the pieces seem to be falling apart more and more.
Yeah.
And they're trying to hold it together a lot more desperately. They've pretty much been compromised their position because what's his name? The guy at the CDC.
Dylan Baker's character.
Yeah.
He ends up leaking in a delirious state some information about his jealousy of their relationship.
As well as leaking out all of his insights.
Yes. That was the way he described that was like, man, this is disgusting.
But he ends up like saying like, hey, this is a married couple that has kids.
Yeah.
And now the FBI knows to be looking for that.
Yeah.
That whole
thing. CIA.
Yeah.
No, it's
the FBI.
Okay. That whole thing with, I always want to call him Aaron Trout because he's got a weird last name too. The other agent. He's got a weird last name. The way he goes, you want a Coke?
That killed me. And then when Dylan Baker started laughing, I was like, "That's fantastic."
He's like, "Is there anything we can do for you? Do you want a Coke?" It's like, and then Eric just kind of looks at him like, "What is that about?"
So here's my question: Why did he do that? Why did he poisoned himself with a bioweapon because he was, why not jump in the river? I mean, if you're going to die anyway, why go the most painful way you can think?
I don't know. I think he just,
he didn't ever want that poison to be out there.
Right.
And I think he wanted to reveal how terrible it was.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't want anyone else to be infected with it.
Oh, okay.
And so he sacrificed himself.
Self-sacrifice. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Now,
all right.
I think the overall theme is also a historical thing is like the Soviet Union is falling apart.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing, I mean, the real telling scene was when the Russian tall guy, when he talks about how the Russians almost started World War III because how old their stuff was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just reflections and that really disillusioned them. And also, again, we talked about it a little bit. Afghanistan for Russia was basically their Vietnam.
Yeah.
It was killing, and the people were not into the war. And you know, it's very funny now when, you know, this is why when we got involved in the Middle East, people were like, what the fuck are you doing? Don't you realize they kicked the Russians out in the mid 80s when they had nothing?
That's why we see Philip's son get rescued because he was protesting.
Yes.
And that's why he went in jail. Okay.
Right. And how, and that's spoiler for the last episode, but that's going to be great next year.
Yeah.
You know.
By the way, I think season 5 will open with them like getting their checks and they bounce because the Soviet Union's got no money.
Yes.
By the way, how many times did they almost have to go on the run this season? Like 3?
Yes.
So they are really close to the edge. Like, yeah, there's always, it reminds me of, and Greg, you haven't seen it, but The Shield.
Yeah.
Where like every turn seemed like, this is it. There's no way out of this. And they keep finding it. It keeps being believable. They are just pushed to the wall.
Let me ask that, because that was one of my problems with some of the scenes in Breaking Bad. It's like it seemed like some of the things were going against character a little bit, like when Ermentrude gets killed by Walt. I'm like, you know, this that whole lead up to like, oh, come on. He's going to put him there with like a plastic thing. He's going to lock him up with a plastic thing, knowing, and you know Walt's going to get away from it. It just seemed, for Mike's character, it seemed a little like, as a guy who's that much into detail, especially now, like kind of going back looking at him.
But that was his flaw.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Mike thought he was smarter.
But I do think this one, that the way they're getting out, the way that, I mean, because it's like they're getting out, but the noose is always getting a little tighter.
Yeah,
and they have no room to maneuver. Now, though, I'm seeing like, because we see that Paige is picking up really bad habits from mom.
Elizabeth finally realized, it's one of the things I think changed Elizabeth this season, is she realized she was essentially running her daughter.
Right.
She was basically treating her as an asset.
But she's the one who started it, because Philip was not behind it at all.
And now that she sees it, she, I think, is regretting doing it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard to turn off.
Right.
Because now Paige is in it. She knows what's at stake.
Yeah.
Paige is going to kill the pastor.
You think?
Pastor Tim.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think that, or somehow Paige is going to do something, or kill
Matthew.
Matthew.
They are just so slowly developing Paige, and she's done a fantastic job.
Yeah, she's really good.
Holly Turner.
She's fantastic.
Yes, Holly Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Holly Taylor Turner. Taylor Turner's.
So, Grant, how do you feel about all the Russian stuff?
Eh.
I love the Russian stuff.
I could leave it. I feel like it's just filler in the show.
Yeah, you didn't think Nina being killed, though, was really just a brutal moment?
That was brutal.
I mean, I saw it coming.
Yeah, we saw it, but I saw it coming, but I didn't see it coming like that.
No.
It was brutal. But it also just made me go, wait, what? Why do we dedicate all that time to that storyline then, just to see how it goes?
Well,
down
because of the emotional effect of it. It was a great, talk about going out. I mean, that was.
I had no emotions.
Yeah,
well, this had robot. I was reading, and subtitles. She dies. I was like, oh, okay, got it.
but even like with the director now having to go home because of this. Just like, listen, we know what you guys have done. You have to go home. And that character, the character actor who's like the new FBI head.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. I love that guy.
He's really good.
Steve Carell Light.
Yeah, but he's always been kind of mousy. But in this one, that mousiness, and just when he turns on being tough, it's like, oh, you got it, man. Why didn't you do this before in some of your earlier roles? But I like, this show is just so, like, this is a show that I watch and I'm like tense. You know, watching it.
I was pretty down on this show last season.
Yeah.
It just wasn't gelling for me. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, this season was fantastic. I think all of the stuff
between Philip and that girl also just made me so uncomfortable and uneasy last season.
Yeah.
But it was I was like, I just don't like this. I don't. Yeah. I get where it's good storyline wise, but this is not what I want from this show.
By the way, let's go back to Dinner for Seven, which was two episodes ago. Dinner between Pastor Tim and Alice, and then Stan shows up.
Yeah.
That was amazing. It was so tense. Oh. And everybody there is so worried that Tim's going to say something to the FBI guy. Yeah. It was so amazing.
Well, even then, and then the one after that was this, that was the one.
Roy Rogers and Franconia.
Where she thinks that his wife thinks she's got. Was that the one? No, persona non grata. Which is the one that with where the wife, where Pastor Tim's wife thinks he's
Oh, that goes further back. That's when he thinks he's been kidnapped. Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's I think that's the magic of David Copperfield.
Yes, that's right. And but just how I'm thinking, are they going to kill a pregnant lady? to protect themselves. Like, this
and
is
also
terrible.
The whole thing early in the season about Martha.
Yes,
the way that whole thing went down, Martha, that was heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking, horrible.
Do you think we're gonna see her rot away in Russia too?
I think we'll never see her again.
I think we see her.
You?
I think we see her because there's gonna be some tie with the parents.
They made that actress too much of a main actress.
And with the call,
I don't know.
The call me. The handler had to call her parents.
Yeah,
and I think. If they trace that, I think what's going to lead them, I think they're going to catch him first. God, what is it? Franklin
Doll. You mean Gabriel?
Gabriel. I think they're going to catch Gabriel first.
Yeah.
I do have to say that, what's her name? Mina, the girl you just
Nina?
Got sent off. No.
Oh, Martha. Martha. The girl playing Martha, right. Yeah.
That's probably one of my favorite send-offs, Greg.
Well, you know what? That was just like... I know you're saying that facetiously.
You're putting
but
Greg on a plane to Russia.
Yeah, but but just how wordless it was. Just how it was like final and like fatal. It's just depressing. I mean, imagine if any of us. I mean, I think one of the reasons why the Russian handler did not want to go because he's like, yeah, we're spying on these guys, but you know, America's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah,
and again, that's basically why they lost the Cold War. Is that America's pretty damn cool. You got all this stuff. You get like you know. Levi's and the music or whatever, that stuff was really real. It's hard for younger viewers of the show to understand that Iron Curtain. I mean, it was like Cuba. It's the only thing we can think of it now is like it's where they had nothing. They had shit from like the 50s, you know. And these agents were in America and they had those, they all turned like Philip.
Yeah,
you know, you politically you may not like what the United States are doing, but the lifestyle here, so it's really hard to give up. And the fact that all these, that they all are like, yeah, you know, I'm here for Mother Russia, but they're not exactly running back. I mean, the only one going back is Oleg because of his brother and his mom.
Yeah. It reminds me of when we watched Deutschland 83.
Yes.
It was such a great scene, seeing when he moves from the east side to the west side of the wall in Berlin. And just all of a sudden there's color. And there's fruit. And everything just, it was like... It was crossing into the land of Oz.
Yeah.
It was just so well done. I think that is what I keep thinking back to when I think about the differences between them.
So we've got two seasons left.
Yeah.
Shortened seasons, right? Don't we know they're shorter or are they just saying
seven
that?
Episodes?
I don't know if they're shorter.
I thought they said they were shorter.
Oh.
I guess Game of Thrones is
saying two more
shorter.
Seasons. By the way, that's a lot of show left. Where are they going from here?
Well, I think they got to go to... They got to bring in the political stuff. I mean, what's happening... Actually, you know, it's funny too because I went back... Randy, you remember this. It was always a joke because the Russian premiers were all old and they all died.
They were just dropping this. Brezhnev. Yeah.
And so like right now, like I think Brezhnev is there and he's gonna die soon. And then Dropoff comes in and Dropoff dies within a year.
Yeah.
Then Gorbachev comes in. Yeah. That's where everything changes.
Everything changed with Gorbachev,
So I think once they introduce Gorbachev and maybe they do some time moving like they did earlier.
Yeah.
Where they maybe shift like 18 months.
Yeah.
And we see where everything's at because it's gonna collapse. We know that quote unquote the United States wins, but what happens to all these agents?
So
do they make it?
Happy ending? I don't know.
I'm rooting for one.
We had
such a bleak show.
We had a question about this actually. Yeah. You remember? We had one of our listeners asked us a question about it.
That's right.
And they had a theory.
Right.
You want to pull it up? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Zach McLernan says, watching the finale of The Americans got me thinking. Elizabeth and Philip are like Night Owl and Rorschach from The Watchmen, and that Philip, like Night Owl,
It recognizes hypocrisy and gray of his job and fundamentally longs for more, while Elizabeth, like Rorschach, deals only in absolutes and is blindly uncompromising.
Right.
With this in mind, would it be reasonable, says spoilers for Watchmen, that Philip will survive and outlive the eventual fall of the Soviet Union and Elizabeth is destined for death? Perhaps not, but how about that for an ending?
It's a brutal ending.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I think
actually more brutal.
I think they both wind up back in Russia. That's what I think the brutal ending is.
I think I think maybe
with their kids.
Or one of them, maybe Philip has to go back.
Yeah.
Because you know his son is coming.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big I don't even know how that's going to, because he's older than Paige.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that's going to rectify itself, because then you're going to bring in the younger brother who's like, wait a second, who's this guy coming in? So I either see like some kind of tragedy happening to one of the kids or Philip. And the final break that she gets will be having to deal with that.
Either, I mean, with the title Americans, I always want to think that has to resonate with the finale.
Yeah, yeah.
And so either they fully embrace American culture and they escape and they actually truly become Americans.
Right.
Or I like the idea that they get sent back to Russia and they are no longer Russians. They are Americans trapped in another country.
Or, well, you know,
in Russia, they just don't fit in.
Or, I think I know where you're going to go. They turn and people are coming after them from Russia.
Yeah. Or Paige becomes Black Widow and Mikhail becomes Hawkeye.
What? I don't even remember those characters from The Watchmen. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to our favorite show to talk about ever, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
This is episode 8.
Yeah. People were down on this episode. Were you down on this episode?
Not complete. I don't think it was one of the strongest of the season.
No, it's a weaker one, but it's a peace mover in a lot of ways.
I understand.
This one was called No One.
I think people. The only thing I didn't like, and I think it's because they're moving so quickly, is like I didn't want to see the final fight between Arya. I wanted to see that. I wanted to see her actually slice the woman's face off.
They pull a No Country for Old Men not once but twice in this episode.
Yeah, I didn't.
We don't see the Blackfish's final fight before he dies.
Right.
We don't see Arya versus the Waif, even though that one was hyped up. It's just like, whoa, both these things happen off screen.
They actually did three of them. Like, all of a sudden, just Daenerys just flies in. It's like, wait.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, wait. There's no dramatic scene with the dragon. She just walks through the fucking door.
Oh, it's even better because she does that. And then her dragon just flies. Pieces the fuck out. It's hey, dragon, stick around. There's kind of, we could use you right now.
Maybe the dragon was like, fuck this.
I'm out of here. She can't even rule this shit.
Yeah. So it was very odd, but because I'm in a tank for the show, and based on the previews for next week, I'm so excited about it. I'll let it go. I don't care. But I can see why people are down, because they're used to those things being more fleshed out, I think.
Well, I also agree with some criticisms I heard about how Tyrion's character has just kind of been wasted this season.
I disagree, because we got the whole thing with him and the dragon and the dungeon. That was a great scene.
That was, but
and I drink and like I know the, things. That's a good
been the
line.
Third, like scene of him with Missandei and Grey Worm, just kind of sitting there trying to get him to open up. It's like at a certain point, is there nothing else you can do?
Because
it's true. There isn't much he can do.
But there isn't much for him to do there, because he
could
not
try
really
some other political maneuvering. That whole city was desperate for someone.
He
like
did
him.
Try a political maneuver that didn't work, and that's why it didn't work. I didn't like the fact how quickly it didn't work. I thought it would be nice. It would have been more clever.
Yeah, and I'm disappointed because I had that call. I thought they sent assassins, and apparently they didn't.
Yeah,
they just sent slaves.
He didn't work for him. But so I'm actually okay, because what else is he going to do? The queen's gone. He's not going to try to double cross the queen. He needs her.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, there's really not much I can do except sit here and drink. And because that's really what he did. I mean, think about the first season. That's kind of what he did, was sit and drink and fuck. That's
but he always did awesome scenes and stuff. I do think that's reasonable, is that he's had some good scenes, but not in the last few episodes.
Right.
I mean, I think it's true to the character that he's stuck in a boring spot. But as a television viewer,
yeah,
those aren't the scenes to show us.
But come
we
on.
We don't need to see that.
But when Grey Worm cracks the joke, that was funny.
That was funny.
You, I'm a soldier. You don't think I know jokes? That's a terrible joke. And then, you know, he was so dry with it. It got me. I'm like,
yeah,
that was a joke. You know, that was okay, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like Grey Worm and Missandei and Tyrion hanging out. I like watching it. It was fun.
It was funny.
As long as I'm on this Grant bitching about this episode, because now I think about some other things. Here's my other problem with Arya.
Yeah.
Right.
The Arya scene is the fan speculation was so much better than what we actually got. It was actually that Arya was being careless. She was gallivanting downtown with money that mysteriously she was able to get. I guess she robbed someone. She also somehow got a bunch of really nice clothes and just kind of strutted about to get a ship. And suddenly Arya, who always knows to slunk around and hide in the shadows, wanted a cabin in the fancy boat. Like, she wanted a big ball. I don't get that. None of that made sense for her. So it would have made more sense that there was some like ulterior, like face shifting, like shenanigans going on.
See, okay,
but she was drawing her out, right? She was drawing the waif out so she could go to draw her back to her.
Was she?
I don't know.
She took a bunch of stabs, and from a old lady that in an earlier scene you see her looking at that face on the wall. That same old lady's face was one of those faces in the scene.
I don't know.
So it's like you should have recognized that, Arya.
But why? I mean, part of me just. Is giving will give her the fact that she's still, what, she's 12, 13? I mean, she's still 13 years old. I mean, she's going to have relapses. You know, like all kids do. You think, you know what? You should know this shit now. And you don't know it. Oh, because you're 12 years old. Because you forget stuff. I don't know. And I'm really just going there with it that I'm in a tank for her.
So. They dedicated a lot of time to her training and building up only for her to completely fuck up and then just luck out at the end through an awkward stumbling around chase down the streets with the TI 9000 or whatever people are calling her.
Jason Bourne.
Yeah, just like running all crazy Wile E. Coyote. The whole thing is just weird.
The funny thing is, it didn't bother me, but I can't disagree with any of it because, it is weird.
And why did Waif just seem to be toying with her rather than going in for the kill shot when she was chasing her down the street? Because she's holding her guts and like awkwardly running.
I'm with Randy. There are problems with it. I just don't care.
It didn't bother me.
It just seemed weak. It was weak.
Yeah.
Like George R. R. Martin, that's probably not how he's going to write it.
No, but then again, I think...
Grant, he's not going to write it.
Right.
We'll never see that. I know. So,
so let's talk about Cersei and...
Yeah.
Okay, not the mountain. Is it the mountain?
It's the mountain.
The mountain.
That was in context. That whole I choose violence is a great line. But it was kind of boring.
I choose violence with that long beat before her saying it.
Yeah.
Ruined it.
Yeah.
If they said, or violence, and then she goes, I choose violence right away. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Right.
But instead she pauses, stares at them. They look back. Then she looks back and goes, I choose violence. Lackluster. Yeah. I was like,
And also, as satisfying as it was to watch the mountain crush a few of those faith militant, it ultimately does nothing for her.
He did one face crush.
Yeah.
But they were smart. They're like, okay, we gotta take this back because we ain't gonna win this shit.
I blame the director.
Do you?
I mainly blame the director for a lot of this. I think it's that
bad choices.
I could have loved that that chase scene and fight scene with Waif.
Yeah.
If it was handled differently, I love Jack Bender who did The Door and then he did Blood of My Blood. The episode after that.
Yeah.
I thought those two episodes were fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
So Mark Maylor, do you have a problem with him?
I guess so.
Okay.
And the last two episodes are going to be directed by the guy who did Hard Home last season.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really excited for those.
We get
the War of the Bastards.
The Battle of the Bastards.
Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah. That is great. But I do wonder, like, does Cersei now get the fuck out of the Dodge?
You want to know what's happening?
She's not gonna.
I know for sure what's happening at this point.
Oh, boy.
And I hope it's not a spoiler because I feel it's been revealed in the show.
In the books, you mean?
In the show.
In the show. Okay.
Really?
Well, I mean, I know she's not getting
in the show and in the books, if you're familiar with the books.
Spoiler.
But they have the scene. Okay, spoiler. Jump ahead if anyone is afraid I'm going to spoil something here.
Right.
Because I am.
But you're speculating.
I am speculating.
Okay.
But here's what I'm pretty sure is going to happen. when she's talking to her maester, that creepy dude.
Yeah.
He says, "Oh, I found it."
Yeah. The
you know what it is, Greg?
Well, no. My little angels or my little rats found whatever.
What do you think it is that they found?
I don't know. I forgot.
You know?
No.
Wildfire.
Oh.
They found all that wildfire underneath the castle that the Mad King was making.
Right.
And we've seen.
Didn't they already use that in the.
They used it in the big battle. Yeah. They used some of it. Tyrion used a bunch
of it. But they didn't use all of it?
But he used all of it.
Okay.
And there was a ton of it.
Okay.
That's
so
right.
So I think she's going to burn down all of King's Landing. She's going to burn it the fuck to the ground.
I think you're
she's written off Tommen. She already made her pieces and said her goodbye to him. She already knows he's going to die, and she's the one who's actually going to kill him.
Oh, man, that's brutal.
And
the thing is, Tommen.
If Tommen dies, she's back as number one.
Yeah.
Right.
The thing is, I can't believe I'm siding with Cersei because she's a viper and I should hate her, but Tommen's such a weak-willed, stupid little shit. I hate him so much.
Yeah.
I hate him in a different way than I hate Joffrey, but I feel like all Cersei's kids are terrible except for the one poor girl who just got murdered. Yeah. Marcella was the best of them, and she just got killed.
You know what? That should be an advertising about don't have sex with your sister because that's inbreeding. That's inbreeding.
Do we need that campaign?
We need advertising for this?
Maybe in Westeros we do. But
furthermore, on the wildfire thing, it was already also shown in the visions that Bran had earlier this season.
Yeah.
We get the emphasis on burn it all.
Right.
And Cersei repeatedly says, "I would burn down this city. I would burn everything down to the ground." She always says that. It's like almost a catchphrase for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we see in Bran's vision green fire tearing through the halls of King's Landing, the keep.
Yeah.
The keep,
where the throne room is.
Right, right.
And then go back to season two.
Mm-hmm.
Daenerys had that vision.
Hmm.
Right.
And she's walking through a burned down throne room.
So they get there and she's like,
it's got to happen, right?
And she's got, and she gets there, she's wait, there's nothing here.
Or it could be that this is a speculation and then they're just going to botch it like they did with Arya.
This actually makes more sense. And that'd be awesome because, okay, so we know the Iron Queen or whatever is coming towards it. Or Daenerys.
Sorry, I ruined that for you, Randy.
Right. So wait.
I don't think that's what's going
to
happen.
So Daenerys knew. Daenerys was she's going to the Iron Islands to get the ships. So they know. She knows she's got to go there to get those ships to bring her troops over.
Yeah.
So by the time all that happens, then we got to figure out what happens in Winterfell between the Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah.
And we got to figure out who's going to be left standing with all of them, and then they're going to all go down to a burnt down Westeros. That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, that's
and then
have cool
to fight
idea.
The fucking White Walkers. That's kind of cool.
It's a cool idea. I don't know. I'm not sure I buy it. I'm not saying it won't happen, but it's not what I'm seeing. I don't see it.
Grant is right round two. We'll see.
Grant was wrong last week.
Oh, come on.
Well, that wasn't
my theory.
That was far-fetched.
Not like this is my theory either.
I thought that would have been far-fetched because we have not seen the man with no face do anything other than sweep up and be mopey around, you know, dead bodies all season for him to be out there imitating somebody just to prove something to waif.
There was a big fan speculation about that was called Clegane Bowl that people really wanted the battle between the Mountain and the Hound to happen directly as trial by combat.
Yeah.
And this has been nixed by this episode.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That's kind of great. But it was also great seeing the Hound just kind of go on a bloody tear and just like start chopping people.
Yeah.
No, that was great.
It reminded me of Monty Python a little.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where that guy's like just like running. And those people are just chatting.
Right. That's funny. It's like Life of Brian. Was it Life of Brian?
No, it's Monty Holy Grail.
Holy Grail. Grail. That is basically, again, we talked about like, you know, tropes of you know, like the comedic tropes like Angie Tribeca. That was there. They've already, Monty Python's already done it.
They're getting a little self-referential, right? They have the Hound talking about, I want chicken.
Yeah.
Like his whole, like, everyone's like, he loves chicken.
Right. that is funny watching him just kick the stool out of his
eyes. You're getting old. He's not.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, that's so amazing.
Yeah.
It just, he's such a bastard. I'm so glad he's back. I'm very glad he's back.
It was kind of cool seeing Dondarrion, Beric Dondarrion. He's back. The guy, the other guy who's been resurrected on his show.
When did we last see him? Season two?
Season two or three.
And we're getting all these people that
It was when Arya and the Hound were on trial. We're traveling around. That was season three.
All these people disappeared and now they're popping back up.
Several seasons ago. I mean, they missed.
Where's Gendry? That's the other one.
They got to, right? They got to go back to Gendry.
Yeah,
right.
He disappeared off on a boat, and we never saw him again.
Exactly.
Maybe he's on one of the Iron Islands boats.
Yeah. You know what? He needs to come back. Because
I think he will.
Well, I mean,
he's the rightful heir to the Baratheon throne.
Right, so
throw that up.
Is he? Because he's a bastard. So he doesn't have a claim.
But he's still got the bloodline, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, I mean, with all the bastards, who I guess whoever is like this, like a these two bastards battle out, then whoever wins will have to battle him.
That was the whole thing about Ned finding that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That the other kids don't have the rightful claim because it would have to be through his
blood. You know what? Right. Wait a second. Yeah. That's it. Because Cersei takes out her son, there's nobody left. Right?
She would think that she gets it, and then Gendry shows up.
Right. Yeah.
Oh.
And he's like, no, I want the burnt out, terrible throne that no one really
wants. And then
really
he takes out Jaime. Because Jaime, I mean, that Jaime.
Jaime will kill Cersei because Cersei killed Tommen.
Yeah.
Or no, I don't think that.
By the way, I'm glad I was wrong about Jaime. We didn't talk about Jaime and
Brienne.
Yeah.
He let
him
go.
That was some great tense stuff between the two of them.
Let him go.
Yeah, he let him go.
It was beautiful, too, when she tries to give back the sword and he's like, nah.
That's yours.
That's yours,
girl.
And but what about Edmure? I did not see Edmure Tully basically turning on his uncle. Was he just like beaten?
He was pretty broken.
Yeah. Well, he's got a kid. He threatened a kid.
Yeah.
And now as a father, I'm like, you threatened my kid. Okay. Whatever you want. Just don't throw my kid in the moat. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Jaime had one of the best fuck you speeches in a long time. It's like, I don't care. I will do this. And Jamie's scary.
That's true. Jamie's perfectly happy to throw kids off of rooftops.
Yeah, we
also
seen
eliminated all of that without bloodshed and what was going to be unwinnable otherwise.
Yeah.
Right. But
except that it wasn't. If they had just taken the deal, they could have gotten the Blackfish to take the deal. The whole army could have walked out of there.
Right. Yeah, true.
But
if Jamie would have stuck to his word,
I believe that Jamie would have.
The phrase wouldn't have fucked with it.
I believe that Jamie would have stuck to it, and I believe the phrase wouldn't have gone against Jamie Lannister.
Yeah, I think Jamie.
I think that the Blackfish made a mistake. He chose a noble death over living to fight and help his niece.
Yeah,
and I think that's a foolish choice.
And I think Jamie, something has changed in Jamie. I do like the fact that I think the fact that when he talked about Stark, when he talked about her saying, you know what, she hit me in the head with a rock, she didn't kill me, why? Because she loves her daughter that much that she freed me to go get her, and you know that meant something to him, and even though we never really talked about that, or we've seen that change in him a little bit, like the thing with his brother, I mean with Tyrion, that he's just like, I just, the people who are with me or my kids or whatever, the people that I love, I really love them. And it's I mean, it's just weird because it's his sister, but I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to get past that. But I do like seeing that with Jaime, and that's why I think maybe, since he's a Kingslayer, maybe he becomes king, and then we're saying that Baratheon's bastard son kills Jaime.
Oh,
I don't know.
The Kingslayer becomes.
We only have what, two more seasons to see?
Yeah,
we only have two more episodes this season.
Yep.
Now, come on, that Battle of Bastards looks.
I'm excited.
That's gonna be.
So here's the thing, Greg. Yeah, you're not gonna be here next week.
I'm not.
What predictions you got?
I think I'd be shocked if Snow doesn't win.
You got your odds on Snow. All right.
I got my odds on Snow.
I do too.
But he's hurt.
Yep.
Something, they'll resurrect a guy to kill him again.
or somebody gets killed close. I mean, it could be it's not going to be
Sansa.
Sansa, but it could be either Brienne
or the older guy. Davos.
Oh, Davos.
It could be Davos.
Davos is going to find out what happened to Shireen.
Do you
I bet he finds that wooden horse
he's got to.
In the ashes or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So
now, do you think Sansa's protected? Do you think they wouldn't kill off Sansa? Because I think they'd kill off Sansa. I don't necessarily think they're gonna, but they could.
I think they kill her off, I think they kill her off in a way that Arya finds out. So I don't know how that could be.
Yeah.
Because Arya is like, I mean, because right. Well, see, then. But then we haven't gone back to. What's his name? The kid, you know, the kid with the visions. We haven't gone back to that yet either.
Bran. Yeah.
Bran. We haven't gone back to him yet. And
Bran's gonna arrive at the head of the White Walkers. He's gonna show up. They're gonna be like, "You're alive." He's like, "Yeah, there's a whole bunch of White Walkers behind me."
Yeah, but with his with their uncle.
Yeah.
See, the family needs to get back together somehow. So
I bet we don't see that till the very last season.
Yeah, but then I don't know. But I kind of want what's his the evil guy? What's his name? The other
Ramsay
bastard.
Bolton.
Kind of want Bolton to kind of get away somehow.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm ready for that guy to get murdered.
But But it's gotta, he's got to get murdered in a way that's not so obvious, like losing in a battle. And I don't know
he's going to be killed off screen based on this episode.
I sincerely doubt that. But yeah, Tommy Lee Jones will sit at a table talk about it.
Yeah.
But
damn it.
But I don't know. I have no idea how this battle is going to draw out.
I'm ready to see it.
We'll find out next week. Well, all right. Greg, this is it.
This is it for a while, anyway.
Yeah, for a bit until we take this show on the road and we go out to L.A. to...
You come out to L.A., you pitch your script that gets picked up.
TV Dudes West Coast.
TV Dudes West Coast. Randy comes out for Comic-Con, just hangs out.
Well, it's been awesome.
Yeah.
It's been really good, man.
I'm really going to miss you.
This is... Yeah. Other than me getting married, having my son, and finishing my college degree, this is like... one of the few things about Austin I'm really going to miss. But it's really important. I mean, it's really, really... I mean, if I think about... Like, even in bands, I've done this longer than any of the fucking bands I've played in here.
Yeah, so, every week, man. Every week.
Every week. This has
we
been
the... We outlived all the bands, too.
Yeah, this is... Yeah. And you're better people. So, I mean, this is like... This is the gig, you know? This is the gig.
Yeah.
It can continue. It's just going to be in a different form.
It's going to continue. Yeah. But it's going to be different.
It'll be a little different. And we'll figure it out. We'll try and get you on here and there. We'll Skype in.
And then also, I don't know. It depends on school, but I would love to do at least a TV festival again next year. I had a good time.
Yeah.
I mean,
so I won't just immediately delete your presence from the entire site.
No, and then I really...
You're going to cut his head out of the header like yeah. His ex-girlfriend?
Just put a question mark
question
over there.
Mark.
Who will be the new Greg?
And then I really do... I know I joke about it, but I actually, one of the things I want to get back to, not just writing for... I used to have a blog. I used to talk about a lot of this shit on my blog. But I want to get back to writing. I really do. I miss writing.
You know
writing.
What you should write?
Those
episodic Mad Men reviews.
Mad Men episodes.
You promised those for like
you promised them, Greg. But if you write them, we have to give them for our Patreons earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I should give them to the Patreons. Or even just do solo Mad Men reviews. You know, like the Terriers one.
All right. Well, we love you, dude.
Love you guys.
We hope you have a good time out in California.
And you guys, you have a place to stay. Come visit. Bring the family, too. We'll figure it out. I don't know.
We'll do.
We only have a loft, but who cares? We'll figure it out.
Well, until next week.
TV Dudes out. We look outside, it's gray. A seamless sky today. Trees stand all proud and nude. We just can't shake this dulling mood. Whisper on my skin, this weather is such a sin. Let's go out and play, go far away. Sunless ways, sunless ways. Money is such a noose, but credit our guilty muse. Just have to go for our souls to refresh and grow. Ooh, ooh. You whisper on my skin, this weather is such a sin. Let's go out and play, go far away. Rainbow fruit to eat, our love is so sweet. Someplace by the sea, green dressed trees above while we're making love. Someplace by the sea, lounge around, our souls rebel. Romancing someplace by the sea.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast. It is exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and on Twitter at TV Dudes, and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.